Hey, family, my name is Derek and I'm an addict.
Hey, Derek.
Man, Nandis, you did a great job. Let's give her another round of applause. Man, it's a real tough act to follow, right? Oh, man. They gave me this topic, one addiction at a time, right? And I'm trying to figure out what that's all about, right? And I know my higher power plays a whole lot of tricks on me that I hate sometimes. You know, any of y'all ever been looking at TV or listening to the radio and them commercials come on and say, if you got a drug problem, you know, call this number and you can go cure you and you don't have to go to the meetings? I said, damn, that sounds good. So I started thinking, I said, you know what, I might call that number because I might not have to go to these meetings for the rest of my life, right? And they give me this damn topic, one addiction at a time, because they told me drugs was my problem when I got here. And it took me this long to really figure that out, right? And I got here in August 2nd, 1992. My ass is getting old in here. 26 when I got here, 51 now. And I can't remember shit. That's why I got this stuff. I had to write some notes, right? And I had put them in my phone, and he said, you can't have your phone by the recorder because it messes it up. I said, damn. You know? And when they gave me the topic a while ago, I'd be in the shower practicing, okay, I'm going to say this. I can't remember none of that shit, for real. So we will talk about, what we talking about? One addiction at a time, right? So this topic reminds me of steps 1, 2, and 3, okay? And when I got here and they said easy does it, that's what this is talking about. You know, don't try to cure everything at one time. Take your time. It's not a race. It's a journey. You know what I'm saying? A day at a time, right? I smoked a whole lot of PCP, and that's probably part of my problem, right? And I love PCP, right? Because I thought I was like, you know, if anybody, any PCP smokers in here, any both smokers? All right. Aren't we the smartest people in the world? Man, we can have some real deep conversations. Ain't talking about shit. I'm making conversation, man. I got home, like, Any step parents in here? Any step parents? Bless your heart for putting up with stepchildren like me. God, I went home after smoking some PCP one time, and it was about 3 a.m. I went in my parents' room, flipped the light on, said, we got to call the president. Cause I need to talk to him. I got some things I need to talk to him about, right? And my mother was like, baby, okay, it's okay. It's all right. You want something to drink? And my stepfather was like, this motherfucker, damn. So, you know, step parents, like, look, I applaud you for putting up with us, right? We laughing now, but look, it was nothing funny when I got here August 2nd, 92. You know, I had tried everything. I tried to stay in the house on weekends. That didn't work. They said, well, look, Shawty, just drink, right? And put the PCP down. So I drank for a little while. Then I had to go back to what I really liked. I did the church thing for a minute, right? I was in all the little plays growing up and all that. That ain't work. It was rough, y'all. It was rough. I was in school. I went to college in North Carolina, right? I live in D.C. I was down there for a week, and I find myself getting arrested. So it doesn't matter when they say you take you with you, it doesn't matter where you go. I was in college for a week. Hadn't even started classes yet. I'm down there getting arrested, drinking underage. Like, damn. That didn't work. Relocation didn't work. Nothing worked. Not until I got here, right? And I got here and y'all said, okay, go to a meeting every day, get you a sponsor, help somebody with no strings attached, pray, right, work the steps, and most importantly, don't use, right? And minutes turn into hours, hours turn into days, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turn into years. And that's how this thing works. So keep coming back, right? So, okay, let's get into this thing. So addictions, right? I got a whole lot of them. It's like I say, told you I'm intellectual, because when they gave me the top, I'm like, man, well, it's really only one addiction. It has many faces, but it's really only one. So if I go off topic, it's the PCP, right? I start making shit up, and you know, I got to put my stuff into it. So I start going out of here, right? Okay. So the first one I got is workaholic. I am a workaholic. Now, what's bad about it is I have my own company, right? But and it's not because, you know, most people will set their own company up, want to do this. But I couldn't work for nobody because I couldn't even get to work on time. So I said, well, if I work for myself, I go to work when I feel like it, right? I ain't got no balls. I work harder for myself than it is for y'all, right? So anyway, I'm working, I got people working for me and all that, and man, I've been, the lawyers called me a couple times, I had people, any of y'all ever wrote up, your boss like wrote a letter for a hostile work environment or harassment? That's me. I'm working hard. I send you emails on the weekends. You know, at 5 o'clock, man, we're just getting started, you know. And if you let me tell it, oh, they just ain't trying to work. You know, then I talk to one of y'all. See, when I don't want any help, I don't talk to y'all. But when it get bad enough where I really need some help, then I talk to some of y'all. And y'all will tell me, Derek, you need to stop. You need a meeting. You need to call your sponsor. You need to write some stuff down. Yeah, I'm like, you need to pray. Man, okay. So, I ain't had no lawyers call me in a while. So, I guess my work environment is no longer as hostile as it used to be, right? So, y'all keep praying for me. Second one, driving too fast. Anybody here drive crazy? Oh, man. About 3 years ago, by working hard and not using, I've been able to save up a little bit of money. So about 3 years ago, I bought this car. Fast car. Fast. It's convertible too, right? That junk tight. It got 200 on the speedometer. And you know, with my ego and everything, everybody, man, sure, that's a nice car. You know, because I'm short too, and I never really like it. I still don't like it, right? So I got to do things that make me feel good, my self-esteem, clothes, cars, women, you know. So I bought this car. 200, right? And they said, Tony, how fast you get that joint up to? Oh, 167? Damn, when you drive a car in 160, 167 miles an hour? It ain't that hard. 0 to 90 at 3.7 seconds. You're like, Sean, you gonna kill yourself? Nah, I'm alright. You know how we do, right? I'm alright. Shit, I can handle that thing. Like the commercial and shit. Yeah. And so I'm finding out that when I'm driving it, right, I sit up in the seat, my heart get to beating real fast. It's no different than the crack. Heart get to beating real fast. I'm looking in the rearview mirror like every 3 seconds, see if the police behind me. I'm looking around. And then I catch myself, right? And I calm down. And then somebody pull up beside me and I'm looking to see if they trying to go. Anybody trying? You trying to slam? You trying to go? You trying to go? Come on, come on. Right? And they always be trying me. I don't know. And my sponsor say, well, are they trying you or are you looking for something? I said, they tried. He said, yeah, all right, yeah, we're going to get back to step work. And so it's only by the grace that I haven't killed myself or killed somebody else. You know? And the sick part about it that I got in touch with about it is, I say, well, I only drive like that when nobody's in the car with me, because I don't want to hurt nobody. But I'm not thinking about myself. So one more time, I'm practicing self-destructive behavior in recovery. You know what I'm saying? And with time. You're 25 years this August, right? And so going back to that commercial, don't get cured. This ain't a thing where I'm gonna be cured. I got to continue to practice these steps in all my affairs. Right? No matter what's going on and what life is gonna bring, because I'm gonna have issues that I'm gonna have to continuously deal with, right? Alright, next one. I know a lot of y'all got is shopping. Oh, let me tell you about the shopping thing. Man. I was on my way to Italy. It was so bad. I like Ferragamo shoes. And they say, Sean, they got them Jones in Italy. Like, I was like, yeah. Straight up. They say, yeah, man, they'll make them for you over there. I'm like, damn. I got on the internet. I was talking to somebody over there, like a personal shop or something. Like, yeah, so you come over here, look me up, and I'll take you around to all the stores. I'm like, damn, okay. I started looking at airline tickets and stuff. I wasn't telling nobody because I didn't want y'all to know. I said, shit, I'm going to Italy, man. You know, most people go on their vacation, restaurants, like, man, fuck that. I'm going to the Ferragamo shop. Shit. So it's like, okay. And then I end up telling somebody, like, man, hold up, dog. What you do right there? What? Go to Italy. He said, you going all the way to Italy to go shopping? Why don't you go down to the mall? It's like, you know, you hear they got the good dope cross town. Man, I'm going cross town. Yeah, they got the good shit over there, right? You know, y'all ain't gonna know where his shoes came from unless I tell you. Man, it was rough, right? I like Ralph Lauren, right? And he had this sweater. And I went to about 3 malls in the D.C. area. Ain't nobody had. I said, well, look, man, call on the phone. Man, I'm tired of going to all these malls. He said, okay. He said, well, sir, they got one sweater in Manhattan, New York. I was like, oh yeah? I said, call him up. I said, tell him hold it. My name Derek, tell him hold it. Right? And they said, okay, well we see him. So they called the man, they said, now we don't see the sweater. I said, man, tell him keep looking, man. I said, tell him check the mannequin, it's probably on the mannequin. I was on my way to New York to get that sweater, right? They couldn't find it. I said, damn. Then I found one in Germany, and they wouldn't ship it to me. I got real mad. I called Ralph Lauren. Man, y'all ought to change the policy or something. Once again, I told somebody. They say, Charlie, you're tripping. Need to go to a meeting. Call your sponsor. Work some steps. Yeah. What's going on with you? I was like, okay, man. All right. So the last one I'm going to talk about is sweets. Right. Hey, I see a lot of y'all can relate now. Yeah, let's talk about them sweets. Man, I was on 7-Eleven donuts so hard. And I tried to rationalize. I said, look, okay, I like the I like the, damn, what they call them? Sourdough or sour cream or whatever they call them. Like, yeah, you too? My man. Yeah. What? Now, I used to go always late because I told you I like to get up early. So I found out all the donuts would go early. Everybody coming in the morning, the contractors and stuff, get the donuts in the morning. So by the time I got up, 11, 12, they gone, right? So Shorty said, man, you got to get here early. Like, man, I'm not coming in here early for no donuts, right? So I was trying to do things to justify and rationalize things, right? I said, well, look, if I go into a 7-Eleven and they don't have those donuts, I'm going to leave and go to another one or just do without. I'm not going to get the other ones that they had, right? And that was a way for me, I thought I could control it, right? And I don't keep sweets in the house, which means I got to get up and go to the store. That don't always work either because I'd be putting my shoes on with my mom and drive to the store, right? But it worked a lot of times. So, no lie, y'all, this one time, I was going, there's a men's wrap in D.C. at 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights, right? I left my house at 6:30. I said, you know, I'm gonna stop by 7-Eleven. I'm gonna give me a couple of donuts, and we'll go to the men's wrap. Went to the first one, they ain't have it. Like, all right, got time. It's 6:45, right? Got an hour and 15 minutes. I'm good. Drive to the next one. No donuts. I'm like, damn. So now I'm in my phone looking for the next 7-Eleven, right? I'm all on Google looking for the next 7-Eleven, right? I went to 5 7-Elevens that day. I drove past the men's rack. By this time, it's 8:30. Men's rap started at 8. I ain't make it. I'm at the 5th 7-Eleven. No donuts. I said, all right. It was an Aldi's. That's like a little grocery store they got in the D.C. area. Went over there and got a pack of cookies and was good. Right? Was good. Out of control. Totally out of control. Right. So what happened was I was doing that for months. And 2016. And I thought it was, I really thought it was funny, right? Well, I thought it was a joke. April Fool's Day. I had a doctor's appointment because I was having problems with my back. And so I was going to this back specialist. And the lady was, you know, reading everything, and they were telling me that something's going on with this or something back, the degenerated disc or something's going on, right? And so, but she said, you see this little spot on, looks like a little something on your kidney. And I was like, no, okay, what's up with that? It's like, I don't know, we gotta see what's going on with that, right? And so she left, and then the doctor came in, and they said, well, look, it looks like there's some notes on your MRI, because I had to have an MRI. It looks like there's some notes on your MRI that you got, look like a lesion on your kidney and on your liver. I was like, whoa. I was like, damn. And it's April Fool's Day. I'm, in the back of my mind, I really want them to say, sigh. Right? And I'm like, damn, it's like, you need to go get that checked out. And they say, your primary care physician ain't tell you? I'm like, nah. And so I'm mad at him, and I'm calling down the office and say, man, what's up? And we need to look at, get this and do this, and you know, so now, so I come out, and I start crying, and I call my sponsor, and I call some other people, man, because I'm the type of, I'm going to die, you know, I know already, but look, hey, I need to get the obituary written. I need to get my affairs in order. You know, I called my boy in Atlanta, man, you need to get up here. You know, everybody like, calm down, man. You know, this stuff, you know, let's go through the motions. So my sponsor said, well, look, he said, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, we go through the process. I said, all right, man. So I was in Baltimore. You know, and I see, he said, well, what you get ready to do? I said, I'm getting ready to go get me a corned beef sandwich, right? And he said, nah, man, let's cut the grease out, man. Let's get a salad. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get a salad. So that was April. And so that scare cut me off the donuts and all the sweets for a while anyway, right? for a little while. So I had to have two more MRIs and all that stuff. So that whole time, so I wasn't eating like that, the donuts and the cookies and the cakes and the pies and all that during that time, right? And then eventually they took, I had, like I said, two more MRIs, and they said, well, we can't find anything, right? And I was like, wow, thank God. And so for the next few months, I was good. I was going to get in shape. I was drinking water. I was eating salads and shit. Then I went right back. Something happened. I think Thanksgiving. That's what it was. Thanksgiving happened. I was like, shit. I'm going to get me some of this dessert. And I was back off to the races. Back off again, right? I was like, damn. Here we go again. And so I know what to do, y'all, because I've done it before, but I just don't always want to do it. You know, a lot of things can be solved by using these principles that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? But I'm just not always willing. Bottom line, sometimes I just like the mess that I'm in. Sometimes, you know, until it just get too bad and I gotta make some changes. So here I go, I'm back on the donuts again and the cakes and the pies and the cookies, right? And then I start looking in the mirror like, whoa. Pants was tight. I'm always blaming the cleaners too. These motherfuckers gonna smoke my shit. Then I get real racist. These motherfuckers, you know, shit, they always fucking my shit up. And I told you, I like clothes, so wardrobes are expensive. So I ain't want to be buying no more clothes, right? And, but anyway, so, thank you, I got 5 minutes, cool. So anyway, March 1st, was the last time I had cookies, donuts, cakes, pies, all of that, right? And I'm using the same principles. When I get the urge, I'm praying about it, I'm talking about it, I'm sharing about it, calling my sponsor, whatever is going on, I'm doing whatever I need to do, because I want to live, you know? And not just live, I want to feel good, I want to be as healthy as I can. And so, in closing, you know, we talk about one addiction at a time. Again, easy does it. I'm learning not to beat myself up every time I go through these different things because I'm not using drugs or alcohol. And the literature says every clean day is a successful day. So what if I eat a cookie? You know, so what if I drive 100-something miles an hour? Shit, keep doing that shit. The police gonna catch me. You know what I'm saying? And it's only by the grace they haven't yet in 3 years, right? So I know that, but I can't keep saying that. I gotta stop the behavior, and I gotta stop the behavior now, right? Why I got a chance to stop it on my own, or someone or something else will. You know, and that's what I'm doing with the sweets too, because diabetes is around the corner. You know, I got some caregivers to take care of my mother, and she was just saying, yeah, my father, they just cut the foot off. And I was like, oh, you want this cookie? So, God is good. This program is good, y'all. And I love y'all, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for listening.